Today I confessed, and last week I made a very bold statement. And many of you have shared through email that you also believe over the next couple of weeks that are left, actually 1 week that is left, this 5-week focus on why we love our church, that you also believe that we will be different. Because we're not only reminding ourselves, but also inviting others into the why of the mission and the purpose of our church. I shared how we gather in weekly worship and Bible study on Tuesdays and Wednesday nights, how we gather in Sunday school, how we serve and lead and mentor, and how we engage the community through activities such as movie in the patch, trunk or treat, and the pumpkin patch itself. We are sharing our love in Christ with one another in the community. I am also convinced that the words that you share on our heart cards will invite and encourage us to connect more people to God as we all grow deeper in our faith and serve God more together. Saints, there is love in telling the good news of Jesus Christ. Today and throughout our time together, we're going to look at the same verse, but through the lens of different translations, so we can have a better understanding of Jesus's prayer. Last week, we focused on verse 22 and 23, where Jesus prays, "I've given them the glory that they gave me, that you gave me, so that they can be one just as we are one." Do you remember that? The motif that we talked about in this love and sharing. But on this day, we're going to focus on verse 20 and 21. And that's it. Where Jesus prayed, "I'm praying not only for them, but also for those who will believe in me because of them and their witness about me." So I want us to look at this verse through two other translations so we can hear the words and understand what Jesus is praying for us. See, this version says, "because of them and their witness about me." So keep in mind the phrase, "their witness." Hold on to that. The CEB, the Common English Bible translation, says, "I'm not praying only for them, but also for those who believe in me because of their word." So now keep in mind their witness and now their word. Their witness and their word. The NIV translation, the New International Version, says, "My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message." So now we have the phrase, their witness, their word, and their message. Saints, we are the people represented in this continuous and future-minded prayer where you and I and every person and generation from this moment forward are the ones telling others about this great witness, this great word, this great message of Jesus Christ. We're being charged with sharing the love of God through telling this message of God's promises through Scripture, God's unconditional love, and that the Holy Spirit will guide us through the most challenging and the most celebratory times of our lives. There is love in telling the good news of Jesus Christ. Like myself, you may have heard over and over again, or maybe you've used this phrase yourself, I couldn't have made it without my Cokesbury family. Like myself, maybe you have heard your friends say, I couldn't make it without the free groceries. I heard that I couldn't make it without the free groceries that you gave me today. Maybe you've heard from those in our community, we couldn't make it without the support, presence, and love of this church. There is love in telling your neighbors, friends, and even strangers at a gas station, I love my church, because there is love in telling this message of hope, forgiveness of sin, the grace with the help of God, and the community to share our story and tell about eternal life in Jesus Christ. This prayer, the Lord's Prayer, embodies what it means to know and love, to know that the Father and the Son also know love, to know that we are a part of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit who are love. See, Jesus, in the Gospel of John, chapter 17, is praying with a purpose. In verse 21, he prays that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me, I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. We're going to look at that. Those translations one more time. Think about the word may, because this is what this particular translation says in the NIV. May they also be in you so that the world may believe that you sent me. Saints, there's no guarantee in the word may. The message says, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, so that they may be one heart and mind with us, then the world might believe that you in fact sent me. Saints, think about the word may and now the word might. And guess what? There's no guarantee. But when we look at the translation in the Common English Bible, it says, I pray they will be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. I pray that they will also be in us so that the world will believe that you sent me. So the word will says that there is a guarantee. Amen. The Lord's Prayer has a purpose, and each translation of that purpose gives us permission to keep trying to tell our witnesses this message of good news, the word of good news, that we continue to give because they may believe, they might believe, but some will believe. There is love in telling the good news of Jesus Christ. May, might, will encourages us to keep going no matter what. So we are not created to be isolated from life. We're not created to only serve or only attend fellowships or events. We are created to be in relationship. And what better relationship to be in than those right here at Cokesbury, growing in our faith with the named one, Jesus Christ, who equips us for life and surrounds us with a committed community of faith. There is love and telling. When we apply God's word to our life, it has this amazing purifying effect. It affects our head, our hearts, our hands, and just us in general. When we read the scripture, scripture points out through grace and the movement of the Holy Spirit where we have fallen short. But it also motivates us to renew our relationship with Jesus Christ through God's grace to help us get back on track. There is love in the telling of the good news of Jesus Christ. So how do we tell the world about this amazing gift? How do we share this love in telling? How do we tell others about God who saves our soul? We commit our time, our gifts, our witness, our words, our messaging, our presence, and our generosity to the mission and ministries. This is how we tell the world of God's saving grace. So I want to challenge you in this telling. I confess. I made a bold statement last week. I confessed about me being a tattletale. But I want to challenge you to, over the next year, to commit to nurture one family, just one, into the body of Christ. One. Just one. To nurture them into God's kingdom. To nurture them into this community of faith. Maybe it's through dinner or a cup of coffee. Maybe it's a small gift to a family who has moved into your neighborhood. Maybe it's a handwritten letter to someone that you haven't seen in a while. There is love and telling that Jesus is our Savior. Saints, we're not just here for the coffee and the donuts, though they help. We are here to share what God has done for us and tell the good news of forgiveness and hope. This love in the telling starts with us. So I'm going to be that little elementary, young, ponytailed little girl for a moment who tells everything. And I want you to imagine 10 balls. And then I'm going to call out Pastor Josh because I'm sure he's imagining 10 baseballs. Because I received a text message around 11 o'clock saying, "They won!" So whether it's baseballs, soccer balls, footballs, golf balls, tennis balls, whatever, racquetballs, whatever your heart desires, I want you to imagine 10 of them. You have been given these 10 balls. They're all yours. And God desires for you to give one away. So now you only have 9 balls. You had 10, you give one away, and now you have 9. So imagine this analogy of the balls is now your income, regardless of where the income comes from. 10% is one ball. 100% is all of the balls. Imagine that you commit to give 10% back to Cokesbury, back to your community of faith, back to your house of worship, so that we can continue to share the good news of Jesus Christ. We don't want to stop. I have seen lives transformed. I have seen people completely do a 180-degree turn because of the work and the mission and the ministries that we have here at our church. I'm still that little pigtailed little girl telling all. Every year since I have been your pastor, I have raised my tithe, my 10%, 10% of my gross income and my commitment to Cokesbury by 1%. So I've been here 2 years. So now I give 12% of my gross income to the church. Why? Because I believe in what we are doing here. Because I trust that God is using us for God's glory. Because I look out and I hear the stories that we share from the pulpit, and as we're talking about the announcements and the things that people say, I believe that we are bringing Christ to people and people to Christ. I believe, saints, God's promise of eternal life. Maybe you're not at 12% like me. It took me a long time to get here. But I started out of trust and love for the mission wherever I was serving. I gave in small and consistent increments, and I trusted God for the rest. There is love in telling. And sometimes that telling is our commitment to what we're doing in the name of Christ. Maybe you've never given before. Maybe you've stopped giving and never started back. But I ask in this moment that you pray and to see where God is leading you to share in this incredible good news of the gospel that we consistently share with our community, that we consistently tell to our community. So as I finish out this year with my 12% pledge, because I believe in our mission and our ministry, I will pledge, I'm telling you now, in my third year, 13% of my gross income, because I know that there's love in the telling. I know that Cokesbury is making a difference. So I ask that you pray now, and over the next couple weeks, you continue to pray. And then you pledge to see how God is leading you. I don't normally tell people what I give. Because it's private, right? It's between me and God. But I want the people that I know and that I love and that show up Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, that your pastor loves and trusts and believes in the work that is being done through us. Because there is love in telling. You know, Jesus poured into his 12 disciples and then told them, "You will do much greater things than I could ever do." So we are being poured into because God loved us first, so that we can go out and love others as we love each other. We are the them, the theirs in the prayer. Jesus has prayed for us in this moment right now. And I want you to know that there is no divide, no tradition, no culture, no societal norm, no politics that cannot bridge this gap between Christ and those who need him now. This is the good news, saints, because there is joy, there is hope, and there is love in the telling that God gave his only Son for us, so that we can share the good news with all. Let us pray. God, we are so grateful for this time, this reminder, this humbling reminder, that you have given us so much and you don't ask for anything in return. You desire for our hearts to be stirred in a way that we serve our community, that we share the love, and that we tell the good news of hope and peace and joy and forgiveness and eternal life in you. We bless your holy name, O God. Let us lean deeper into who you are calling us to be as your people and your beloved church. In Christ's name we do pray, and all of God's children said, Amen. Amen.